This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley. This program is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host this evening, Margaret McConnell. My guest today is Corinne Konetsky, the owner of The Dance Dietitian in Allentown. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to learn about your business. I think it's a pretty unique business. Maybe it's not, but it feels unique to the Valley anyway. So tell us about what Dance Dietitian is all about.
So I am a registered dietitian and a ballroom dance instructor. Passionate about the two, and I had the ability to finally combine both of my professions into a business that has been about 20 years in the making.
Oh, wow, 20 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you were practicing as a nutritionist for how many years?
Actually, being a ballroom dance instructor was my first career.
Okay.
I fell into it by accident thanks to Dirty Dancing, believe it or not.
Love it.
I was a competitive Latin dancer. I worked for a major franchise ballroom dance company, and I was in the business for about 4 years, and I got really sick, and I had no energy. I kept getting colds, and, you know, just I wasn't well. It turns out I was iron deficient. Something is really simple, but I was really amazed at how simple it was with just nutrition to feel healthy again, to heal myself through nutrition. Mm. So I decided to go back to college to become a registered dietitian. Mm. So I had been a ballroom dance instructor for 10 years. I was teaching all the way through college. And then when I got my degree, I hung up my shoes. Mm. And then I was working as a dietitian for about 10 years. But in college, I knew that I wanted to do this. I would call it Corinne Konetsky's Ballroom Dance Studio and Wellness Center. Mm. And believe it or not, one of my professors actually scoffed at the idea. So, haha. But it's been a process. And when I finally had some professional skills under my belt, and the idea of like how to put a business together, I slowly started to go through the process. And I quit a corporate dietitian job to pursue this full time. And I am into my third year of owning my studio.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So tell us what you provide at the center.
Primarily, it is ballroom dancing. But I also do offer individual nutritional counseling within the studio itself. Hmm. So with the ballroom dancing, it's private instruction, group instruction, primarily adults. But I have had some teenagers come through for learning how to dance for their quinceañeras. I recently just taught a high school group of kids. They're putting on Anastasia, so they needed to learn how to do the Viennese waltz. Mm. So that was Northern Lehigh.
Okay. Getting ready for the Freddies, probably.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I do teach children and teenagers from time to time, but it's primarily adults. And then, of course, there's a nutritional counseling component of that some people come in for both.
Okay.
Some people want to approach both sides of the wellness, the nutrition aspect and the physical activity, and they use the dancing to be their activity component. Mm. Some people only come in to speak with me with regard to their nutrition and their wellness on that level. And then I have my tribe of dancers, the family, if you will. I liken my studio to the nest, you know, initially, they're very comfortable in the nest, but I do nudge them out into the wild, I call it, to go out dancing on their own.
So. Oh, okay. All right. So where the people that come in for dance, do they sometimes go on to professional levels, or are they strictly doing this as a recreational health wellness activity?
My population is strictly recreational. They're there so many reasons. So I have empty nesters that are coming back in maybe to reconnect. They finally have some time to themselves. I have retirees who are living their best lives right now.
Yeah,
not to drop any names, but if you're listening, you guys know who you are. I have a lot. It's wedding season. A lot of wedding couples right now coming in to learn for their first dance. And then people who just want to come in for fun. Some singles, maybe they're looking to meet new people, make new friends, or just they're changing their life in that dancing is a different type of activity that they've never done before, and they're branching out into something brand new.
Okay. Now, what does it look like for someone who comes in, a new person, who wants to take a dance lesson, has zero experience other than what they would do privately in their living room when no one's watching?
I think it looks the same for every new person who first steps into the studio. It's terrifying. But it's okay. I always tell people, and this is, I'm full of puns. Please forgive the puns. But the hardest step you ever take is the first step through that door. And the rest of it is easygoing. It's low stress. I take things slowly. I don't push people. I'm not judgmental. We laugh a lot. You know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to step on each other. You might headbutt each other. You never know. I tell people it is a contact sport. But it's all fun. You know, if you can laugh at yourself, the lesson goes that much more smoothly. And I would say, based on everything that led to my studio, and I think that's a whole other podcast. The vibe in my studio is just positive. There's good juju there. So I think it latches on to the people when they get there, and they're feeling the positivity, and everybody's just having a good time, just learning how to dance and being silly, and eventually you feel graceful. It's a growth process. But the first day, It's a little fumbly, but that's okay. Have fun with it.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me what it looks like. One, let's talk about clothing and attire. Like, what do you need? Is it like because you don't go out dancing in your workout clothes, right?
Correct.
If you're going to dance at a gala or something, you're in a ball gown or heels if you're a woman, or a tux. So what do you advise people on how to prepare and dress?
In general, we're super casual. So I always tell people I'm in some level of athleisure wear while I'm teaching. Ballroom dance shoes, you know, proper equipment for the sport. I tell my ladies, come in the type of shoes that you expect to be wearing when you're dancing. So my brides, I'm like, bring your shoes if you don't mind them getting stepped on or something similar. Same thing for my grooms. You know, wear dress shoes. Sneakers, not the best. You can't really spin comfortably. You might, you know, turn an ankle or, you know, pop your knee. So yeah, no sneakers. But I have a ton of different ballroom dance shoes in the studio that I show newcomers. I'm like, this is what they look like. Explain to them how they fit, what's proper for the type of dance they're doing. And then I send them off to an inexpensive website. I have just a slew of them that they can choose from. So.
Okay. So you're dressing the part while you're learning. Okay. And that's a good point about the sneakers. I wouldn't have thought about that. You don't really go out dancing in sneakers.
Yeah. Well, some do, but you know. But if you know you, so dress appropriately. Mm-hmm. For my brides, oftentimes the bridal gown can be a little limiting in their motion. So I've been known to wrap them up in scarves to mimic the tightness around the thighs, so you feel like this is what it's going to feel like in your dress when you can't move. So I try to make it as real as possible for them, so there's no surprises the day of the wedding.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to me about dance as a form of, it's an activity, right? But heart rate, like what can a person expect as far as physical activity and this sort of working into an overall active, healthy lifestyle?
So ballroom dancing is excellent for cardiovascular activity. It's low impact. And you kind of get out of it what you put into it. So if you're moving slowly and taking your time and just figuring things out, you're not going to get your heart rate up, but that's okay. You're still moving for the hour. It's excellent for flexibility, for balance, core strength. But it's great for the mind. It's a wonderful exercise for the mind. You are you're literally helping to rebuild synapses in the brain. And which is why ballroom dancing is the type of dancing that has been clinically shown to decrease cognitive decline and to decrease your risk of developing Alzheimer's disease.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is, I've never heard that before. That's very interesting. Now, you teach ballroom, obviously, mm-hmm. and then what other types of dance classes are there?
Well, within my studio, ballroom is the all-encompassing term. So think of it like an umbrella. Mm-hmm. Underneath that umbrella, you have smooth dancing, your waltz, foxtrot, tango, Viennese waltz, quickstep. And there's also your rhythm dances, your swings, East Coast, West Coast, jitterbug, hustle. There's a dance called nightclub two-step. And then you have your Latin dances, your rumba, cha-cha, salsa, bachata, samba, merengue. I teach them all.
Okay. So it's sort of like Latin. They all root from ballroom. Like specific steps you have to learn ballroom first before you learn the others?
Again, ballroom is the all-encompassing term. Oh. So if you're learning salsa, you are learning a style of ballroom dancing.
I got you. Okay. And ballet would be a completely different style of dance. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I got it. Now, I'm assuming you don't need to have prior dance experience.
Nope.
Okay. So what do you say to someone, not naming any names, but someone who maybe has two left feet and zero rhythm?
Well, I tell every human that you have a heartbeat, so you have rhythm. I mean, it could be AFib, it could be a little irregular, but you have rhythm. It's in there somewhere. And with regard to the two left feet, you might go in a circle or two until you straighten the other foot out. It's okay, but everyone's going to learn at their own pace, and everyone has a different manner in which they learn. So it's my responsibility to figure out how you learn. Are you somebody who learns by watching? Are you somebody who learns by listening? Are you somebody who learns by doing? And with ballroom dancing, you're using all of those modes of learning in one lesson. Mm. So if you have two left feet, we'll straighten them out. Huh. And I promise you have rhythm. It's in there somewhere.
Huh. Okay. I'm just doubtful because I know my body. It's not moving rhythmically.
Challenge accepted.
So what if you come in as a single person, ballroom is a partner dance, mm-hmm. right? So how does that work?
If you come in as a single person, then you get me as your partner.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. You get to dance with the teacher.
Yes. I lead and follow.
Okay. Awesome. Now, do the majority of your folks come in as a couple, or do you have any specific classes that are just for, you wouldn't have it just for singles because you can't dance with everybody.
I can.
Oh.
Yes, and I have done that in the past. I would say it's majority couples, but I do have plenty of singles. So I have singles that do private lessons with me. I have singles that come to group classes. And I have done singles classes in the past, specifically for women. My group classes tend to grow organically based on when people call in and ask for what I have available. If I have an influx of single ladies who are looking for a group class, I'll put a group class full of single ladies together. And I will dance with all of them, but I will also gear it towards ladies' arm styling and hip styling and things that I would focus on a little bit more for the follow side of things versus the leader side of things because they're not leading. So I adjust according to the need of the studio.
Hmm. Is there any sort of cross training that you recommend for people or other types of strengthening or other ways to get your cardiovascular level up to a dance level? If you're kind of a sedentary person, mm-hmm. and you just want to come out and try this, are there other things that people should be doing to kind of help this learning process?
Absolutely. And it really is individualized. Somebody who has been sedentary for many years, I'm not going to tell them to go and run a 5K. Walking is wonderful. And this is where I pull in the dietitian side of things as well and recommending physical activity across the board. It needs to be something that you're going to do regularly that you want to keep doing. So walking is a great way to enhance your endurance. But if you want to get into some flexibility training, you need to be flexible to dance comfortably. Yoga is a great way to increase your flexibility, or just stretching. Give yourself morning stretch, afternoon stretch, evening stretch, whatever, wherever you can fit it in. But keeping yourself flexible is certainly beneficial if you want to improve your dance skills.
Hmm. Is there anything that, since you are a nutritionist as well, do you tell your students, how to prepare food-wise for a class. And how long is a class?
Classes are an hour long.
Okay.
And I might throw a pearl of wisdom here and there in a class, but they are separated as far as services. Mm. So I'm not giving advice to a group of people like, this is what you need to be doing to prep for class. That's something that I would sit down on an individual basis and discuss a personal need at that point. You know, but if you're looking to prepare for class, don't eat garlic.
Ah, that's wonderful advice.
Or fish. Save that for a non-dance day.
Okay. That's great. So how often do you recommend that people take a class? Is it like a once a week thing?
At least weekly.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So if you want to learn something, you've got a dance to prepare for, you're going to want to come in once a week.
At least. Weekly lessons will shorten the review time so that you extend the amount of time you're actually progressing from week to week.
Okay. Okay. Now, I saw also on your website that you do public speaking events. Tell me about that.
So it depends on what you need. Do you need a presentation that's specific to a certain age population, men, women, a mixed bag? What are you looking to talk about? Are we talking about generalized healthful nutrition? Are we talking about cardiovascular health? Are we talking about decreasing the risk of developing chronic disease? So whatever you're looking to spread to your group of people, I will discuss it. So it's again, everything I do when it comes to nutrition is very individualized to the need of the population.
Mm, yeah. There also is team building events that you do. So what does that look like?
Oh, gosh. So most recently, I had one of our local roller derby teams.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. They contacted me because they like to do team building activities outside of roller derby. So they wanted to come in and take lessons. I had an entire roller derby team in my studio. It was awesome. Something that they like to do that's fun, a little bit different than what they do normally as a group. But if you're not like a fully functioning team, like a roller derby team, maybe if you have, you know, a small pocket of a corporate team, taking a ballroom dance lesson puts everybody on even ground. And it's one giant icebreaker, if I'm going to pull from my old corporate world of lingo. So you get to kind of shed your role that you carry in through the door, and everybody is dance student. You know, there's no hierarchy. And you're able to just be goofy and have fun and maybe show a side of yourself that you don't get to normally show people at work. And overall, you're learning nonverbal communication, and you're learning teamwork, and you're learning patience.
Patience. And how to, I would imagine, deal with mistakes.
Absolutely. Yes.
And mistakes that other people are making.
Yep.
Accepting. And I could see that as the team building, you know, always used to involve ropes course of some variety. Or I did one once where you do the trust fall, like out in the woods, you know, which is scary and terrifying. But I can see how the dance, learning to dance with somebody, is a whole different form of trust.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about the dance industry itself. You have a long history as a dancer and being in the dance industry, and it's notorious for body image culture and unhealthy diet practices, right? So how do you help dancers develop a healthier relationship with food? And I understand you sort of do the nutrition side separately, but what have you seen overall in your experience as a dancer, and how did you learn a healthy relationship with food?
It takes time. Sometimes you have to undo years of programming. One of the first things I say to either an adult or a parent is really be mindful of taking judgmental terminology out of your conversations, whether you're having it with yourself internally, because we are our own worst critic, or whether you're talking to your child. So things like that's good, that's bad. I was bad today. That's a bad food. Food isn't good or bad. Food is food. So in my counseling sessions with my clients, as soon as they start using judgmental terminology or the word should, now I can't take credit for this. I did read it somewhere and I thought it was brilliant. We should all over ourselves regularly. I should be doing this. I shouldn't have done that. Very, very judgmental. Mm-hmm. You paint yourself into a dark corner when you do that. So I mentally, I have a bell that I ding and I say, what did you just say? When they use one of those words and they go, oh, I say, okay, so flip the script. Be more objective. You weren't bad today. You ate a Snickers today. It's a fact. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just what happened. And then you start to retrain how you talk to yourself or how you talk to your children. That's the first place as a dietitian I go with my counseling in helping people develop a healthy relationship with food. Is how do you approach it? Are you matter of fact, factual, objective, or are you judgmental?
Yeah, and along those same lines, you know, you see on social media, girl dinner was like a thing. I don't know if it still is. I may have blocked all those. or what I eat in a day. And you see them line up, you know, five little things. Do you have clients that come in with that kind of mentality? And what should people be cautious about when they're seeing things like that?
First, be cautious of who that person is. What are their credentials? Do they even have the education and the background to be offering rubber stamper advice like that? Be cautious of rubber stamper advice because you are you. You are an individual. What may be appropriate for you may not be appropriate for the person standing right next to you. You know, perhaps 10 almonds and a banana is a wonderful breakfast for you. But for somebody next to you, maybe they need something significantly different. And that could be based on a multitude of factors. Whatever they have going on medically, if you have a certain medical condition, that also dictates the appropriate foods to choose, the amounts to have, the timing to have it. There's so many factors that those influencers, they don't address because they can't address an entire world of people with their all individual needs. So it's glazed over and it's sold. It's marketing, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's marketing. As a former marketing person, I understand the power that those messages can give. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how we shift the focus from aesthetic to athletic performance.
That's an interesting question within the realm of dancing because the athleticism creates the aesthetic. So within dancing, so somebody who doesn't, who's never taken any lessons or who doesn't have any background in dancing or any education on what it takes to become a dancer, they see the beauty. But they don't necessarily see the work behind the beauty, which I liken that to. That's the athleticism. You are an athlete, but you don't show the work. You only show the beauty. So with dancing, I think we need both. But the if we're talking about, you know, the body image with the aesthetics versus the athleticism, build muscles, ladies. Muscles are beautiful. They're beautiful for your form. They're beautiful for your lines. They're beautiful for your health, you know, for your bones. Thank you. So don't be afraid of building muscles. So if we're looking to shift from aesthetics to athletics, build the muscle. Your heart is a muscle. Make sure that you're working your heart, too. Your brain is a muscle, kind of, you know. Make sure you're working your brain at the same time, educating yourself on how to treat your body well. I think we can have a whole conversation on that question alone.
No, hey, this is what we're here for. So is there I lost my question. I was going to go into the muscle part. Oh, I know. Okay, sorry. Do you do, so I'm thinking about the class itself. Are there warm-ups that you do? Teach me.
So no, not because I have adults coming in, you know, just for, it's a fun hour for them. So we're not, you know, doing any calisthenics for the first 5 or 10 minutes before class. But I do recommend that people stretch, you know, make sure you're not coming in cold. I did teach a group of seniors for a while, and I had them stretch for like one song's worth of time because they were all, you know, octogenarians, and I'm like, let's be safe here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But like light stretching, like, you know, arms up in the air. Oh, we're all trees, you know, little like slow bend down, touch your toes if you can, you know. But in my studio, we don't really do any warm-ups, we just dive right in.
Okay. And what does dive right in look like? What do you teach?
Everything. So, okay. So my basic class that just started last night, just started a new series, and they're doing rumba and cha-cha. So you learn patterns. Each individual pattern is like one Lego. And then you stick patterns together and then you build whatever you're trying to build. And with Legos, you can build different things depending on how you put them together. And that's dancing. So with social dancing, it's not choreography. It's lead follow. So the leader dictates what patterns they dance in what order they dance them. And the follower learns how to follow that pattern. So you're dancing as a unit. So in one class, you may learn 2-3 patterns in the hour. And then it's repetition. Do the same pattern over and over again, so that you start to develop that muscle memory so your brain can focus on other things like the music and having a conversation with your partner while you're dancing.
You talk while you're dancing? No.
Or breathing.
Okay, breathing's good. Breathing's good.
I have to remind people to breathe a lot. So that's even a factor there. Like, okay, can you dance and breathe at the same time? Then maybe we'll try talking.
Okay. So is there anything that you would say to listeners who aren't dancers but are active adults, what key lessons apply to everyone?
Okay. What key lessons apply to everyone? Patience. Hmm. Dancing takes patience. It takes patience. Give yourself patience. Give yourself grace to make the mistakes. Give your partner grace to make those mistakes. Be patient with your partner. I have been jokingly saying that I'm going to start writing articles for people who are getting married, because ballroom dancing is like therapy. And you're learning nonverbal communication. You're learning how to be able to move together as a unit in harmony. There's no push-pull. It's all working together towards the same goal. There's acceptance in the mistakes, and there's patience in the mistakes. And it's, tell me that doesn't run parallel to a relationship.
That's really, really interesting. All right. So we're wrapping up here. Our time went fast. It always goes, 30 minutes goes faster than you can imagine. Where can listeners find you? And is there a class schedule? How does that all work?
You can find me in a lot of different places. I am physically located in the West End in Allentown. I'm on the corner of Allen and St. Cloud. You can find me online at thedancedietitian.com. I have my own website. I am on Facebook as The Dance Dietitian. And Corinne Konetsky, I have 2 pages, so feel free to friend me on both. You can find me on Instagram at dance.dietitian. And I'm also on TikTok as The Dance Dietitian. So social media platform of choice. All you have to do is type and search and find me and friend me and communicate, and away you go.
Okay. All right. And is there a dance class schedule, a normal class schedule that's posted on your website?
Yes. Okay. I do have a class schedule, though I don't put a lot of detail on the class schedule because I want you to call me and talk to me.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. So once again, you've been listening to Active Lehigh Valley at WDIY, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. And we've been talking to Corinne Konetsky, the dance dietitian. You can listen to this program again at our website, wdiy.org, or anywhere that you get your podcast platform. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Margaret McConnell, the executive director here at WDIY.